forbidding laws in him. Am I, O Lord, send me, O him. Am I already at the bidding, Lord, send me. And there is much to do, there is work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. And Jesus calls for reapers, I must active be. And what will thou, O Master, hear and mind in me? O him am I.
Lord, send me. Here am I, send me. Lord, send me. Ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. Good morning. I want to welcome each of you to our Sunday worship. We are thankful for all of those who are come by way of a virtual worship this morning. We're thankful that God blessed you to be assembled with us virtually. We're thankful for those who are here. We have a handful that are here at this time, and that we are, in fact, able to worship the great God of heaven. My name is Ray Wilkerson. I am the assistant minister here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and I am very, very grateful that God has blessed us. Aren't you happy that we've had Brother Gary back with us? God is good, isn't he? Our minister has been back, and he's been doing a wonderful job. And we're thankful that God blessed us to allow him to be strengthened and to be healthy, to come and be with us. Today is my opportunity to share with you another word from the Word of God. We're going to invite you to meet with us, if you will, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. As one of the brothers used to say, oh, we're going to go through the old Bible again. Yes, yes. For those who are journeying with us, 365 days journey through the Bible, this is a fascinating read, and it is important from time to time for we take a moment and we drill down. It's amazing to me how many times what we're reading through is very, very consistent with some of the things that we see that are going on even in our society today. So if you will, open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse number 2 and 3, where our reading came from this morning. You may notice that the background is a little dark right now. We're having some challenges. I think we had a light bulb or two. But if you can hear, that's what we want you to hear, the Word of God. And our prayer is that you can hear and understand what is being said. Are you there, sir? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 2 and 3. The Bible reads, and when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib was come, and that he was purposed to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. I've entitled the lesson for this morning, Leadership Does Make a Difference. I was originally going to make it, Does Leadership Make a Difference? I preach and I try to lead us on an adventure, a discovery process. And that's why I like the 365 days journey through the Bible, because we're having a discovery as we go along. And I like for you to be surprised when we get to certain places and things pop out of the scriptures like, wow, that was there the whole time. But every once in a while, instead of discovery, I might want to just go ahead and state up front, leadership does make a difference. And we are certainly thankful. Our brother Curtis led us in an opening word of prayer, and he prayed for our leadership. And we want to be mindful to continue to pray and to thank God for the leaders that he has given us. We thank God for the elders. We thank God for Brother Gary and Brother Murphy, the ministers, Brother Roger Mel. We thank God for the deacons. We thank God for their wives. We thank God for all of those who are working with us in all of the various roles. And we want to continue. Thank you, God, because leadership does make a difference, whether the leadership is good or bad. It certainly applies in the church. And brother, listen, sister, listen, I don't want y'all to turn off or get upset, but it makes a difference in the country, in the land in which we live as well. Leadership makes a difference, and stick with it, because you'll find that the Bible has already spoken on this. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, you remember now that Hezekiah is king over Judah. And Hezekiah was 25 years of age when he came through the throne. And he's going to reign for about 29 years. And in the 14th year of Hezekiah's reign, we're going to have the Assyrian king is going to send his ambassador. And he's going to come and he's going to talk trash, if you will, to the people of God, Judah and Jerusalem. He's come up and he's taken away the northern tribes into captivity. And now he's making an assault on the southern tribes, and nobody has been able to resist him. And he comes up in verse number 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 32. The Bible says, after these things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. So he came up to the fenced cities, and he's taken the fenced cities. And Sennacherib, the king, he just think, ain't nobody bad like me. You know anybody like that? Ain't nobody bad like me. I got this, man. And he's come up, and nobody has been able to resist him and to resist his power. And as members of the family of God, listen, when we have problems, when we have problems at the church level, when we have problems at the national level, at the state level, at the local level, when we have problems, what do you do? What do you do? Number one, we ought to call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord, and let's solicit the input and talk to and listen to our leaders. And that's what Hezekiah did. He called the leadership together, and he had counsel with them. Someone says that we ought to pray like everything depends on God, and it does, and that we ought to work like everything depends on us. It's important to know that studies show that the group decision is always, almost always, superior to the individual decision. I want you to take time to register that. Sometimes in the midst of expediency, we just want to get things done. But the group decision has been demonstrated in all team building scenarios to be more dependable and more robust than the individual decision. And he called upon the people of God. In verse number 3 of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, he took counsel with his princes and his mighty men to stop the waters of the fountains which were without the city. Sennacherib had taken the fenced cities, and the water is flowing into those cities. And he took counsel with the princes and the mighty men. He said, you know what? Maybe we should stop the water. And notice, when he enlisted the support of everybody, what did they do? They helped him in verse number 3. And they did help him. All of us, brother, all of us, sister, if we don't recognize it, we need help from time to time. Amen? Amen. Anybody in here don't need help? I'll tell you, a person that does not need anybody's help, that is an isolated and selfish person. And we need to make sure that we understand that we do a better job when we work together. And they did help him. So it was a wonderful and amazing thing that they took time to talk to each other, and they did help him. In 2 Kings in chapter 18 and verse number 13. 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 13. Get that one if you will. The Bible says, now in the 14th year of the king Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the defense cities, all the fenced cities of Judah, and took them. So it's in the 14th year. He came up and he captured those cities. And he's come up and he's not had a whole lot of resistance. So he's deciding now, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to march on up to and take over Jerusalem, and he's marching to Jerusalem. You know, when the enemy is coming, what are you? You see the enemy coming. You know he's coming against us. As members of the family of God, we need to always be aware that we do have an enemy, do we not? We do have one who's coming against us. Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 to make sure that we keep our hearts, we keep our minds clear. He says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Brother, pay attention. How did Hezekiah know that they were coming up? Because they had taken the fenced cities, and he knew that they were there. He knew the enemy was coming and that he was not going to be satisfied to stop where he was. What do you do when the enemy is coming? The Bible reminds us as members of the family of God, if you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you heard that Jesus died for our sins, if you believe that, if you repented of sins, if you've confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you've been baptized in water and raised to walk in newness of life, you have an adversary. You have an enemy. We have an enemy. You know who that is? It's the devil. And the Bible says, keep your mind clear, brothers. Keep your mind clear, sisters, because he's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If there's a lion in the streets, if there's a lion in the streets, a lion in the, you know whose job it is to get the lion out of the streets? It's the brother's responsibility to set the parameters and to go out and make sure that that lion does not devour any of the flock of God. Our role, our responsibility, be sober. We need to make sure that we're always on our job. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible reminds us that we can do this. Why and how? It says, because we are not going to let him get an advantage of us. Why not? Because notice the latter part of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the latter part, it says, we are not ignorant of his devices. That means we know the stuff the devil does. Don't we know what he does? Listen, I'm going to tell you. I've heard people talking about we need to have a study about the devil. And that's fine if you want to do that. Go ahead and do that. But I don't think we know enough of the word of God yet. We don't know all of the old. You go in the old Bible and start reading in the old Bible. What? That was in there? Listen, we need to make sure that we know all of the word of God. Yes. And we are not ignorant about what the devil does. The devil tries to separate us. The devil tries to have us at each other. The devil doesn't want the elders to work together and the preacher to work together with the elders and the deacon to work with the elders and the preachers and other deacons. The devil tries to sow division among the people of God. And leadership makes a difference. We cannot allow the devices of the devil because we know what he does. We are not ignorant of his devices. Is make sure that we take time to encourage the people. Can we do that? Can you hear me okay? You can hear me okay? We need to make sure that we take time to encourage the people of God. After they've had the counsel and after they've had the discussion, they're going to take time out to encourage the people. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 7. I guess you said, well, you're going to preach all this time and then go ask, can you hear me? 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 7. They took time to encourage the people. We need to make sure that we encourage people. People are going through a lot of things right now. People are losing people to the virus. People are losing jobs. People are losing income. People are losing houses. People are nervous and worried and afraid. And I heard my brother last week say that we need to turn off the news sometimes and not listen in. Maybe every once in a while, and my wife and I have a difference of opinion about that. I want to know what the devil is doing in that regard. Okay. I want to know what's going on out there because, again, I see all of this stuff that's being sown
all of this division, all of these things to push us apart in different areas, and we need to know so that we can speak truth. Amen. Speak truth. Truth has nothing to fear. And brother, I tell you, a lot of times we have folk that are worried and concerned. They don't seem to even want to hear the truth. Notice the encouragement that we get in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 7. Be strong and courageous, and be not afraid nor dismayed. That's a message for our times. Be strong, brother. Be strong, my sister. It doesn't mean that we are not entitled to our own feelings and all of the things that go through our hearts and mind. But this is just a word of encouragement, because we need to be reminded as people of God, just like under the old law, the people of God under the new law need to be reminded. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Why? Because God is still on the throne. It says, for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us. Did you get that? Than with him. Be strong, brother. Now Hezekiah is going around talking about, you know, we've got more than all of those soldiers that Sennacherib has encamped and out there and living in our fenced cities. More are with us that are with him. Brother, listen, that might be hard to believe when you can't see it. Wait a minute. You know, they've got 100,000 plus folk that are out there that are mighty men of war and mighty men of valor, and they just walking up, and they've been conquering kingdoms as they walk up. And the folks that they walk up and conquer, they start to align themselves and join in and walk with them. And they are marching all the way from the fenced cities now. And they're going to come up and they're going to take Jerusalem. What are we going to do? Be strong. Be courageous. Do not be afraid. And we talk about all of this stuff that is going on around us. People that are sowing discord and division between and among us. Folks who have lost jobs and lost loved ones, and folk that don't know what's going on because all of the disinformation that is going. What do you do? Be strong, is what the leadership says. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't you worry about a thing. Why? Because there are more with us than are with them. Now, they wouldn't be able to count those numbers and say that there are more with us in that regard. But you have to see by faith sometimes. Look, does it matter how many other folk are aligned on the other side if we are on God's side? I'm going to tell you, somebody say that one plus God is a majority. But I disagree with that absolutely, completely. Because God all by himself, God is a majority, and God can take care of it. We want to make sure that we are on God's side. Oh man, there's some great stuff in here. Remember in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 17, when Elisha was surrounded by all of these hosts, and Gehazi or his servant was with him, and he was looking around and he was worried, like, oh Lord, how shall we do? What are we going to do? Elisha prayed in verse number 17 and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And that's what we pray. God, Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Lord, open our eyes that we might be able to work together. Lord, open our eyes that we might be able to help one another. Lord, open our eyes that we might not be dismayed, confused, worried. Lord, open our eyes that we might not be afraid. And now notice. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and of fire round about Elisha. Man, we on God's side. And as long as, brother, listen, sister, listen, as long as we align ourselves on God's side, it doesn't matter what all of the turbulence is that's taking place in the world. We are on God's side, and God can deliver all by himself. That's a beautiful, beautiful, powerful element of faith, even if we don't see it with our eyes. Faith demands that we trust and depend on God. I can't tell you how many different people I've talked to that are worried. How many people that are sending text messages and emails and they're afraid. People are concerned. And they are members of the family of God. And what I'm saying to all of us and what I say to myself, don't depend upon our own strength and our own knowledge. Person dies in your family. It's like, well, should I go to the funeral or not? Should I go and encourage family members or not? And you know, all of those are individual decisions, and you have to make a decision between and among yourselves. Make those discussions and do what you decide that you need to do. Certainly, be safe. Be safe. Follow what the leadership that is studying and knows what they are talking about are saying. When you go out, if you go out, put on your mask. How has this become a political issue? It was a political issue in the 1800s. During the flu pandemic, there were folk that rose up as anti-mask people. We ain't gonna wear no mask. We free. We do what we want to do. Somebody told me that my freedom ends where your rights begin. Does that make sense? We don't have the right to take and to pass on those diseases and illnesses if we can help it to somebody else. So wear your mask is what the CDC says. All right? Put on your gloves. Use your sanitizer when you can't wash your hands. Leadership makes a difference. And people are going out and talking about none of this stuff makes a difference. You better check your facts. Has anybody ever cooked with pepper or onions? Sprinkle pepper on something. Sometimes when I'm cooking and I sprinkle pepper on something, I'll hold my breath until after I got through sprinkling the pepper. Guess what happens after I stop sprinkling and I've been holding my breath? I start to breathe again, and guess what I smell? I smell pepper. It comes into my nose. What do? I sneeze. It's like, man, I don't see the pepper. But I know that the pepper is in the air. Why? Because I smelled it and I sneeze. When you chop up onions, do you see anything? Don't see a thing, but you're standing in front of the onions. And brother, see, when you need to get your cry out, this might be a good time. You're just in there, you're chopping up. What you doing? Oh, I'm just chopping onions. I don't see anything, but it irritates my eyes. How many times have you put it? What have you put in the refrigerator? You were going to get back to it and you forgot it was in there, and you went back to get it and you opened it up inside the refrigerator. And it became a science experiment. It's got all kind of stuff that is growing on it, mold or mildew or something. Do you heat it up and eat it? You go, no. Why? It's contaminated. What's the point you're trying to make, Brother Wilkerson? I'm trying to get you to understand. Louis Pasteur demonstrated many years ago there's no such thing as spontaneous generation with regard to the bacteria and viruses. It's there even when we can't see it. What I'm saying is, do your best to follow good leadership, even in your health practices. Leadership makes a difference. Lord, don't let me get on that. I've been watching too much news. Go to your Bible. Go back to your Bible. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, and verse number 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 9. The Bible says, after this did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, send his servants to Jerusalem.
But he himself laid siege against Lachish and all his power with him unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah that were at Jerusalem, saying. Now, he sent an ambassador to go and to bring word to Hezekiah, king of Assyria. And notice in verse number 10, the Bible says, thus says Sennacherib, king of Assyria, whereon do ye trust that ye abide in the siege in Jerusalem? They came up talking trash. Y'all going to stay in there in Jerusalem? We come up to besiege this place. What you going to do? Now notice in verse number 11, there are people like the devil. The devil sends people to undermine our belief, undermine our understanding, undermine our faith. Notice, he says in verse number 11, doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst? They said to the people, listen, if y'all going to listen to Hezekiah, you know what you're going to do. He's persuading you to die. You're going to die because there's no food coming into the city. We're not going to let anything come in for you to eat. You stopped up the water that went to the fenced cities, but guess what? We're going to stop up the water where you're not going to have water inside Jerusalem. You're going to die by thirst and you're going to die by famine. Hezekiah is trying to persuade you in verse number 11, say, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So his ambassador came up and said, you know what? Hezekiah is lying to y'all. Hezekiah is trying to get you to trust in God. Oh, what a mighty powerful king he was. What a mighty leader he was. He called the leadership together when they had a problem and they talked to each other. They talked to God about it. And then they communicated to the people, be strong, be of good courage. Don't you be afraid. Don't worry about anything. And now here comes this enemy trying to sow seeds of doubt in the hearts and minds of the people. Just a word of caution to all of us as members of the family of God. We need to be careful who we do listen to. I am amazed at how millions of people listen to folk who are lying to us every single day and subscribe to that foolishness. I'm just amazed that people buy into it. But he's talking trash about Hezekiah. Hezekiah is going to make you trust in the Lord. My message to all of us in this regard, when it comes to leadership, listen, we always want to make sure that we trust in the Lord. We want to make sure that our leaders trust in the Lord to the extent that is possible. We want to make sure that we trust in the Lord. And anybody that's trying to encourage us to trust in the Lord, brother, I would say amen to what that brother, that sister has to say to encourage and to share with us. Notice in verse number 18. Drop down to verse number 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse number 18. Gets real interesting here. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall. Now these ambassadors from the Assyrians came up and they were loud talking the people of God that they were sent to meet with the leaders there. So that the folk that were on the wall and the folk that are in the gates and on the streets, they could hear what they were saying. And they are speaking to them in the Jews' language so that all of the people can hear what they're saying. I want you to follow this. There are folk that sow disinformation among the people of God. Before you start grabbing all these videos and stuff and start sending them all over the place and saying, hey, respond to this, respond to that, and that, you need to make sure that you verify the truth of what it is that you're sending. Stop sending that stuff out. Okay, I am, in my humble opinion, that's I-M-H-O, in my humble opinion, stop sending that stuff out. Folk be sending me stuff and I just don't click on it and open it. It might have a virus in it anyway. That's another lesson. But it's an amazing thing that people all over social media are sowing disinformation. Some of the stuff is coming from people that are not even part of the United States of America. You need to know that. They cry unto him in the Jews' speech and to the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall. Notice why. Get this again. Bring that back up. Verse number 18. Notice the latter part of them. Latter part of verse number 18, 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 18. To affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. When people sow discord and people sow disinformation among us, what are they trying to do? They're trying to scare us. They're trying to make us be troubled. They're trying to do it. Why? Because they want to take the city themselves. They want to take over where we live. So don't be susceptible to the foolishness and the lies that people are willing to tell us. Leadership keep us informed about what we ought to be about and what we ought to know and how we as members of the family of God ought to conduct ourselves. All right, let's drop down to 2 Kings. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 18, and we'll get a little bit of a different picture of this. 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 26 and 27. I hope you're enjoying your read through the Bible. Again, it's amazing to me how parallel some of these things are to the very things that we're experiencing right now. And this is the current reading on the revised schedule. I made a correction to, I left off two days reading on the original schedule. So this is where we are today, actually. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and 33. Notice, in 2 Kings chapter 18, in verse number 26, the Bible said, then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna unto Joah, unto Rabshakeh. So this is Rabshakeh that's coming up, that's talking all this trash. Speak, I pray thee, to thy servants in the Syrian language, for we understand it, and talk not with us in the Jews' language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. So it's like, wait, you know, bring your voice down. You're talking too loud. Bring your voice down and don't talk to us in our language. We understand Syrian. Go ahead, speak to us in Syrian. Don't speak in the Jews' language in the hearing of all the people. Do you think that made them get quiet? Oh, no. Now they loud talking. Verse number 27. But Rabshakeh saith unto them, hath my master sent me to thy master and to thee to speak these words? Hath he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? You talk about talking trash. Rabshakeh is talking plenty of trash. It's like, man, y'all ain't going to have anything to eat. You'll eat your own dung. You're not going to have anything to drink. You'll drink your own piss. Brother Wilkinson, you saying that? I'm just reading what's in the scripture. Some of y'all be on foot. Oh, he said it's in the Bible, y'all. Okay, I'm using King James translation. Yep. It sanitizes a few of some other things, but in this is very, very straightforward. So he's telling them, man, I'm going to tell you, y'all need to go ahead and make peace with the king of Assyria. In 2 Kings chapter 19, the guy had sent a letter, of course, to Hezekiah with all these words in it. But in 2 Kings chapter 18, now, they had already received instructions. What do you do when people are saying all of this stuff? They had already received instructions. Listen, don't y'all say anything at all to these people. And isn't it good when we advise people, when we get the word and we encourage people? Listen, this is how, when this happens, this is what you need to do. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse number 36, but the people held their peace and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. I know that we need to be told that, because somebody up in your face talking trash, what do? I heard you, brother elder. Sound like you said it's on, but that's just some space between me and you. But somebody up in your face talking trash. Listen. The king had commanded them, don't say a word. Don't say, let's not add fuel to the fire. Don't say a word. And this was good advice that Hezekiah has shown. In 2 Kings chapter 19,
If you notice, 2 Kings chapter 18 verses chapter 19 are also dealing with the same subject matter as 2 Chronicles chapters 32 and 33. And verse number 1 of 2 Kings chapter 19, the Bible says, "And when it came to pass, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord." What do you do when folk bring all this trash to you? He went into the house of the Lord. He had on sackcloth. He was mourning. He was distressed in this regard. He was mourning because of the message of doom that had been sent by King Sennacherib, by Rabshakeh, saying, "All of y'all gonna die. You're gonna die of thirst and hunger." And he went in and he talked. What do you do when you have trouble? Talk to the Lord. You know, you don't. It doesn't even matter if it's 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You can talk to the Lord. You might not be able to call the elders at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, at least not too often. You might not be able to call the preacher, maybe at least not too often, but you certainly can talk to the Lord. Hezekiah went in and he talked to the Lord. And our prayer is that our leadership will always be talking to the Lord on our behalf. The Bible says in 2 Kings 19 and verse number 3, "And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth." Now, he goes into the house of God and he's got the messengers that have brought this trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. And he's going to talk to the Lord about it. 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 14. He went in and he spread the letter before God. And he's praying to God with regard. The Bible says Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. Talk to God about all of this stuff that is going on. Don't you worry about a thing. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord about it. Yes, send your messages to the elders. Send it to the bulletin. Send it and call them. Leave messages on the voicemail. Call the elder that is on call. Call the preacher. Call the assistant preacher. Call all. But listen, listen. Don't you forget to talk to the Lord. Talk to God about it, brother. Talk to God about it, sister, before you ever even bring it to them. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. I'm going to have to find a place to land here. So let me get on down the road a little bit. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 and 16, the Bible says, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he had sent him to reproach the living God. God, this man is issuing blasphemy against you. Lord, this is your business. Lord, handle the business." Let me get 2 Kings 19, verse number 32. And God's answer to Hezekiah's prayer. It's a beautiful thing when God answers our prayers. I know we think about Hezekiah receiving the message from Isaiah, the son of Amos, that he had to get his house in order, that he was going to die. And he turned his face to the wall and he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord added 15. But this is not the only time that Hezekiah called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord answered his prayer. Notice verse number 32, 2 Kings 19. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast a bank against it." You hear that? I don't care how powerful he is. There's nobody more powerful than our God. Leadership makes a difference. And yes, our leaders ought to be men. Our leaders ought to be men and women. Their families, our families, who are aligned with the word and the will of God. In 2 Chronicles 32 and 32, of course, the rest of the acts of King Hezekiah, they're written in the Chronicles. They're written in the Kings. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing when our leaders cause us to trust in the Lord. I hear that song. I'm going to trust in the Lord till I die. I'm going to, and that song says, treat everybody right until I die. So trust in the Lord. Treat everybody right, even those that don't agree with us. Man, I got some good stuff in here that I wish I had time for you to go through with me. But we just want to ask God to continue to bless our leaders, to guide us in the way that we should go. Hezekiah was a great king, but now after him, his son is going to rise up and he's going to become one of the worst kings, and God's going to have to whoop him real good, Manasseh, before he turns around. Now, he's going to be about 12 years old, I believe, when he becomes king, and he's going to reign for 52 years. But he came in, and all of the good work that his dad did, he undid. Let me just mention one here, and then I'll go ahead and close it out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse number 9, this is talking about Manasseh, Hezekiah's son. Now, what I'm saying to you is just because your father and your mother are righteous people, it doesn't mean that the children are going to turn out the same way. There's another lesson there. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33 and verse number 9, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Israel to err. Did you get that? Did you get that? 2 Chronicles 33 and verse number 9. So Manasseh, that's Hezekiah's son, made the inhabitants of Jerusalem, made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. So leadership does make a difference. Good leadership makes a difference. Bad leadership makes a difference. But as individual members, we are responsible for our own decisions. But let us make sure that we are following after God. And we want to encourage our leaders to follow after God. I tell you, okay, I got to stop. We want to thank you for your time. We want to thank you for your attention. Thank you for your patience. If there are any who are tuned in who are not members of the family of God, but you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're on your way on the right path. That's receiving the engrafted word of God. It's able to save our soul. It's a seed that has been planted. If you believe that, then as that seed grows, it brings us to repentance. Repent means turning from self and sin and turning to God. I don't want to do it my way, Brother Wilkerson. I want to do it God's way. And then we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we are baptized in water for the remission of sins. That puts us in the body of Christ. We rise to walk in newness of life. And brother, we walk hand in hand with Jesus, and everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Leadership does make a difference. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for attention. God bless.
Come ringing o'er the restless way, send the light, send the light, send the light. And there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light, send the light, oh, and send the light.